Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
So they have to really take the control in their own hands. So often someone wants to go to a lawyer and have them fix it all for them. Tell them what to do and how to do it and get them the best result and expect some external force to really fix everything for them and set them up to move on. And so much of the work is internal, though, and it's just educating themselves so that they know how to talk the talk and they know what questions to ask and they know how to set their own goals.
So the big questions are these. How can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life.
Welcome to another episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung, and I'm so excited. I love talking to fellow attorneys, and especially fellow divorce attorneys. We've both seen the trenches. And today I have a really special one. Her name is Renee Bauer, and she's a speaker, divorce attorney, author, and CEO of Happy Even After LLC. And she's done all kinds of amazing things. She's committed to empowering women in the divorce space. And she is the author of The D Course, her online course, and she knows what it's like to face uncertainty and shame, and we're going to talk all about that. And thank you so much for being here, and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So I got to be on your podcast too, which I don't know when each of our podcasts are going out. So I don't know whose is going to get run first, but it was super fun to talk to you and get to know you a little bit yesterday. So let's just talk a little bit about your background and your history and, you know, what led you into this whole space.
Yeah, sure. So it's so interesting because we're both divorce attorneys, and yet I feel like we are kind of in different spaces and we're sort of serving different people because you're so specific to someone who desperately needs help with dealing with a narcissistic spouse. And my audience is a little bit different, and it's someone who doesn't have those kind of problems, but their issues are that they're going through a divorce and they're feeling overwhelmed, and there isn't anything maybe particular that is unique about their divorce, except that it's earth-shattering for them. So when I started practicing law, I actually had no intentions of being a family lawyer. And I think like most of us, you kind of get thrown into it and discover the practice. And once I started doing it, I recognized it was such an opportunity to do something beyond just analyzing and applying the law, but really helping people. And it sort of had the social worker side of it. But through this work, I could really help people start in a place where they were so stuck and so overwhelmed and see them out the other end to then have them call a year or so later and say, you know what, you're right. Like, I've never been happier. And I didn't even realize how unhappy I was until I came out and I was forced to now live on my own and be independent and all of that. So that's what really inspired my work. And then even more so I'm divorced myself and I never spoke about it. I was embarrassed and I was ashamed of it. And once I actually went on a friend's podcast, my very first one, and she asked me questions and I was like shocked that I answered them because I've always been so private. And people started to approach me or email me and say, you know what? Like, I sat there and listened and I cried because I recognized myself in your story. And that's when I realized that there are so many women out there who have stories to tell, and we just have to start sharing them, and so that we don't feel alone when we're going through it. So I have very much a personal attachment to this space as well as a professional one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can say, you know, a lot of my audience, my listeners, my community are men as well. And, you know, I mean, it's not unique to just women, you know, divorce and death are like always listed as like the two most traumatic experiences that people could ever live through. And I think like number three is like incarceration or something. It's like more traumatic to go through divorce mm-hmm. than it is to be incarcerated, apparently, according to these people. So yeah, it's you know, and I always say that the divorce paradox is that during the most worst traumatic time of your life, you have to make the most critical decisions of your life. And so people like you and others like me who are out there, you know, trying to help people make it so that you can just think straight is absolutely, you know, so, so critical. So divorce is overwhelming. Where would you say that somebody should begin?
So they have to really take the control in their own hands. So often someone wants to go to a lawyer and have them fix it all for them, tell them what to do and how to do it and get them the best result and expect some external force to really fix everything for them and set them up to move on. And so much of the work is internal though, and it's just educating themselves so that they know how to talk the talk and they know what questions to ask and they know how to set their own goals. How helpful would it be if all of our clients came to us and had some definitive goals listed to say, I want to try to accomplish this in my divorce, or become organized and say, here's everything that I have. And this is what our financial picture looks like without the lawyers trying to pull it out of them or organize their lives or set the goals for them. I mean, their life is so unique and no one can live it but them, and no one knows what they need but them. And so really taking ownership in the process and first really identifying what they're going to need and what kind of education they need and finding those sources for education. Listening to podcasts, taking a course like I have the D course, which is to really educate you about the process and all of the steps along the way. And just taking those steps so that when you do have to actually walk into a courtroom or walk into a lawyer's office, you are ready to go and you are ready to make decisions and have the talk and really understand. And I think that's so important in also trying to find an attorney. Because a lot of people just hire the first person or they hire someone that was referred to them. And that might not necessarily be a good fit, but they don't know any different. So it's really doing your research and finding someone who you can work with. Because it's such a close relationship and it's someone that you have to be comfortable with and you have to have hard conversations with. And as you sit there across from that attorney, you have to ask yourself that, is this someone who I want to go through this with? And make that decision. And that's such an important decision. And I think so many people just rush to make one, or they just find someone online, or they hire the first lawyer that they come across. So education is everything.
Yeah, you have to be willing to tell them all your deepest secrets and all the things.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I always say, like, you know, tell me all the bad stuff, even the stuff with hair mm-hmm. on it or whatever, because if you don't tell me, we will be hearing about it, but it may be under cross-examination or something, you know, so give me a chance to actually spin it the way we want it spun. You know,
I love asking. I always ask a client at a consultation, what's the worst thing that your spouse is going to say about you? And you know, that kind of forces them to really, it's not about their own, because they're always going to say, no, I didn't do anything wrong or I was perfect. But if you ask them, what is your spouse going to say about you? Then they have all different other kinds of answers.
That's a great question and a really great point. So, how do you know when it's time to file for divorce?
Oh, that's such a great question. And I'm sure that you have had to answer that probably every week for most of your career. And, you know, it's the question that people are, again, they're looking for some sort of external validation that it's okay for them to file divorce. And, you know, I have this exercise that I like to go through with potential clients, and I have them not in my office, but when I send them away, I said, listen, list all of the reasons why you're not ready to do this. Why are you fighting or having a hard time making the decision? And usually all of those things include, what are people going to think? How am I going to pay my bills? You know, the concern about the kids. And then on the other side, say, what is your heart telling you about this? And what is, if you just tune out all of that external noise and really tune into what your inner voice is saying, what is that saying to you about it? And, you know, I have a good friend who is an author. Her name's Melody Miles. And she says that the longest journey she ever had to make was the 18 inches from her heart to her head. And I think that that's just such a poignant way of saying you have to listen to your heart and allow what your heart is speaking, your brain to process. And that's when it's okay to make that decision. And I think, you know, it's so heartbreaking to me to see people come and they've been in an unhappy marriage, and then they go to the lawyer and they say, well, we stuck it out for the kids and now they're out of high school and now it's time to file for divorce. And how sad is that? That so much of their life was wasted when both of them could have moved on and maybe had some joy in another relationship or in their life, and they paused that. And for their kids, because they thought that they were doing what was right for them. And, you know, that's sad. We only have one life to live. So you really have to find whether your relationship can come back to joy. And if you think it is, then do you go to the counseling and you do the work and all of that to really put the effort into saving it? And if not, then you make another decision and move on.
Yeah. Tell us about your own divorce. Like, how did that come about, and how were you able to get past it?
You know, Rebecca, the hardest part about my own divorce was that my husband was a really good guy. So, and I think that was the part where you try to reconcile in your brain that what's wrong with you. And it was kind of like, why can't you be happy? Why can't you just be satisfied with what you have? And what is it more that you're looking for? And that's a really hard conversation to have with yourself, because often what then comes from that is the guilt. So when I made the decision that, you know what, just enough, just good enough isn't good enough anymore, I had so much guilt from that. And, you know, and I was going through everything that probably anyone else, men and women both go through when they make that decision, is what's the impact it's going to have on my child? And from that experience, though, I don't have any regrets, because I think it really opened up the opportunity to live a life that has been just so filled with joy. And I'm remarried and I have a wonderful husband and a wonderful relationship and a wonderful co-parenting relationship with my ex. And, you know, if I think back and say, well, what if I stayed? What would it have looked like? I don't think I would be in the same place that I am now. So sometimes the most difficult decisions are also the best ones.
Coming up, more on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zahn.
I mean, you really need support, and I think it's impossible. I think anyone going through a divorce should go to some therapy for some time, because your best friends are not therapists, and at some point they're going to be sick of hearing about it. And when you have a really difficult or high conflict divorce, you shouldn't be running to your friends either, because they're only going to fuel the emotion and the anger, and you're going to leave that being like, yes, you know, I knew I was right, and get all fired up. So really have some therapy so you have the support and learn the tools and tricks to put that in its place.
Is there something that's interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. You can connect with a professional counselor in a safe, private environment. It's online, or it can be through phone, chat, or text. They help you with any issue that you have an issue with, such as depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, basically anything you can think of. If you're unhappy, you can get a new counselor at any time. They're available worldwide. Financial aid is available for those who qualify. Best of all, it's truly affordable. Listeners of Negotiate Your Best Life get 10% off your first month with the discount code BREAKINGFREE. So why not get started today? BetterHelp.com/BREAKINGFREE. Simply fill out the questionnaire and get started. That's BetterHelp.com/BREAKINGFREE. Are you struggling with how to negotiate and win? Maybe you're dealing with a personality that's particularly challenging, like a narcissist or other high-conflict personality, and you're feeling powerless. Make sure to download my free Win My Negotiation cheat sheet at www.winmynegotiation.com.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can listen to more episodes that show you the path to how to negotiate your best life.
Understand that your leverage is going to be tied up in something where you threaten a source of narcissistic supply. And that's also the key, the secret to the narcissistic collapse and what happens when a narcissist actually starts to collapse. What does that look like?
And now we return to today's show.
But how were you able to get over the fact that you weren't going to be able to be with your kid 24/7? I mean, that's so hard for people to get past.
That's a tough one. And I'm not going to lie, the first probably year, I spent every other weekend behind closed doors crying. But what it also did allow me to do was tap into something that I hadn't done in a really long time. And I wrote my first book during that time. And because I had all of this empty time. And so I decided I could sit there and do one of two things. I could wallow and I could cry and I could be a hermit, or I could do something productive with it. And I said, what really brought me joy that I haven't done in a while? And it was writing. And, you know, I hadn't really written from the entire time I was married. It was such a part of my childhood and my teen years and college years. And then I stopped writing. And my divorce gave me the space to start writing. So I channeled that empty time and space into something that I was really passionate about. And I haven't stopped writing since then. And I've always made sure to have room for that. So I think to answer your question, when someone's really struggling with that, tap into what brings you joy. And maybe it's you're training for a marathon, or maybe you're taking a class or learning a language or joining a book club, whatever it is, fill that space with something that you enjoy doing. It doesn't mean you're not going to have your moments or miss your child. Of course you are. But it's also an opportunity just for a little bit of self-care.
So, and that's great advice. And I kind of had to do the same thing because I went through a divorce and my older kids were, you know, I had to like every other weekend go give them to their dad and whatever. And it was so hard, you know, but you do end up being okay. And they end up being okay. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the people in my community, a lot of people, my listeners and the people who follow me, they're dealing with a narcissistic situation and, or, you know, being victims or targets of narcissists. And, you know, what would be your best advice to them about how to not be angry, resentful, bitter? What would you say to them?
Therapy. in a lot of it. I mean, you really need support. And I think it's impossible. I think anyone going through a divorce should go to some therapy for some time, because your best friends are not therapists. And at some point, they're going to be sick of hearing about it. And when you have a really difficult or high conflict divorce, you shouldn't be running to your friends either, because they're only going to fuel the emotion and the anger. And you're going to leave that being like, yes, you know, I knew I was right, and get all fired up. So really have some therapy so you have the support and learn the tools and tricks to put that in its place. And also find a really good attorney who knows what they're dealing with the ex-spouse. And I think that that's so important. And it's something you and I spoke about when I was interviewing you, is that there are so many attorneys out there that really don't have a handle on the unique situation of a narcissistic spouse and how that requires some skill and some knowledge and how to deal with a personality like that. So make sure you're finding someone who can also offer you that support, and so you feel heard.
Yeah. And if they don't understand narcissism, which 99.9% of lawyers don't, that they'd be willing to learn about it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a whole different ballgame. It's not just somebody being difficult. And which is what I created the Slay program for and all of that, because most lawyers don't understand it, unfortunately. So how would somebody trust again after they've been in a relationship, like especially a narcissistic one or an abusive one? How would you tell them they could trust ever again?
That's a great question. And I think the best way to trust again is you have to start trusting yourself in your own judgment. And the only way to do that is you have to give yourself time and space after your divorce to properly heal. We so often want to quick fix our emotions, and people jump into new relationships because it feels good and it's distracting them from the actual thing that's happening inside their head. And I'm sure you've seen it too. Those quick relationships, or the person who starts a new relationship while a divorce is going on, very rarely do those end up lasting, because there are other problems. You're not making good decisions. You're trying to date someone who's the complete opposite of your ex. So you really have to have some space to figure out, one, what did you own in that relationship and the breakdown? And I think that that's so important, because you have to understand what patterns you're exhibiting in your behavior so that you don't carry that over again. So when you start dating someone, you can identify red flags really quick, and you can identify your gut instinct and trust it. And I think that you can't really do that if you're just kind of putting a band-aid over how you're feeling, and you're feeling lonely, so you're going to spend time with whoever's giving you attention. You really have to spend that time alone and sit with it and understand yourself, so that you can trust yourself to make really good decisions. And when something doesn't feel right and you get that little twinge or that red flag, so to speak, you know that you can walk away from that, and you're not going to stay stuck in something.
Yeah, that's so true. And I had to do that myself for sure. Mm-hmm. So you wrote a book, and I love the title of it, and I want you to tell us about it. It's called Imperfectly Perfect Family. Tell us about that book.
Yeah, so that was a children's book that I wrote actually with the help of my son. And he and I sat down, and it was a number. When I got divorced, he was two. So when we sat down to do this, it was some years later. And we had a conversation. I think he had a friend whose parents were going through a divorce at the time. And we sat down and I said, well, what type of things would your friend be concerned about? And so my son doesn't have any recollection of my ex and I being together because he was so young. And we just had a conversation. What types of things would a kid worry about? And things like, where are my belongings going to be? Where are my toys going to be? What if I miss another parent? How am I going to celebrate my birthday when my parents are in two different houses? So really just diving into the things that kids worry about through a divorce. And I did it, and Percy's a penguin, and he's a really cute penguin. So we told it from the perspective of Percy the penguin. And it's really just to help kids get through and talk through some of the concerns that they might have that they might not even know how to voice.
I love it. I love it. I'll put, is it on Amazon?
It is.
It is. Okay. I'll make sure to put a link to it in our show notes as well, because that sounds like a really great book that maybe people could share with their kids if they're going through a divorce, you know? Right. So I love that. Okay. So this is the next question is a question that I ask people, who come on my show, because I love to hear the answers. And that is, what would be your spirit animal?
Oh, that's a good one. I think that my spirit animal is most definitely, and I'm trying to find what kind, it definitely has feathers and is a bird. I want to say might be an eagle. So I've always had this sort of attachment to feathers. And I never realized that I even did, except when I walked around my house and in every room, there was some decoration that had a feather attached to it. And I'm like, I guess I like them. I have a tattoo of a feather on my forearm of a quill. So it's definitely an eagle, a bird that can fly and just soar sort of above and kind of get that big picture rather than getting stuck on the, you know, the small steps of every day and really just taking in the big picture of what life is supposed to be.
I love it. I love to hear people's answers to that question because it really helps us to get to know you a little bit more too. Mm. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's a fun one. Yeah. It's a fun question.
So where can people learn more about you and your D course and your books and your website and all that good stuff, your podcast?
Yeah. Yep. So Instagram is kind of my favorite place to hang out. And if you go there, my handle is at Ms. Renee Bauer. I have links to everything. And if any of your listeners send me a message through Instagram and they're interested in the D course, I will give them a special promo code, giving them 40% off. And the D course is really meant to educate and empower people to make, and it's not just women specific, it's really for anyone to make decisions and understand how co-parenting works and whether they want the house or not and how to budget and how to really get their divorce mindset right. So plus dating after divorce as well. So if anyone wants to head over there and send me a message, I would love to hear from them.
That sounds perfect. Thank you so much. This has been so insightful. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Rebecca. This is great. I want to know what your spirit animal is, though.
Oh, I think it's probably the lion, if I had to, just because, like, you know, they kind of go out and protect the family, but also, like, super, you know, protective of their children and, you know, but they kind of like let their husband or their, you know, the male part be the, you know, I kind of like, but try to let my husband have his time too. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
that's perfect.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Check back next Monday for more inspirational pearls of wisdom. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love if you would give it a 5-star rating and tell me what you liked in a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to grab your winning negotiation cheat sheet at winmynegotiation.com. And remember, today is a perfect day to start negotiating your best life.